This week on RSPNB Update, the Peer Mini-Strike brings skill XP blocks and resets for peers. We dive into what peers are used for and their origins. Then we tee up the most recent developments on Jagex accounts and share our thoughts on the 2023 Golden Gnomes. This is RSPNB Update, episode 928, recorded Thursday, March 30th, 2023. The Peer Spectrum. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update this week. Tanis, you're here, as you are each and every week.
Thank you, Shane.
Also joining us this week is Parnassius. Welcome.
Thank you, and good day to all the RSBNBers out there.
And what we're going to be discussing this week is something called the Peers Mini Strike, which is something that has been brewing for a while. We owe a lot of this to Mod Stew. We'll talk a bit about that. All in good time, of course. We also got some stuff on the Golden Gnomes and a bit of a look back on the history of peers in RuneScape as well. And plus some new breaking news this Thursday regarding the Jagex launcher and the Jagex accounts that we'll be talking about too in a little while. But if you're joining us for the first time, you can follow along. The full show notes can be found at update.show. I'm in game at Shane12088. Tanis is at Tanis79, and Parnassius is Parnassius. Always nice when we have simple names to say. And with that, we also have our friends chat, Bits Bytes. That's where me, myself, and a whole bunch of other hosts and producers hang out. And of course, we also have a community Discord as well at rsbnb.com/discord, where you can take part in, and there's lots of fun stuff in there too. And with that, I feel like we could just jump straight on into the Peers Mini Strike this week. I wasn't expecting this to come this soon, but lo and behold, here we are. New options for peers, and you know, I think if you look at you open the book of RuneScape, where does peer sit in the lexicon in 2023? And, you know, you're probably wondering how niche of an update is this, and who is this benefiting here? What were you guys' first thoughts when you saw this week?
I thought we were in a time machine.
I'm yeah, because like, oh, they would have given anything for this in 2007, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And then I had to wonder, like, probably like everyone else, like, who is this for? You know, and it definitely does bring another style of gameplay, you know, makes it a little bit easier to do, a little more accessible. But I think we can talk a little bit later about kind of what it could have looked like. And you know, think about it this way. People were already playing an Iron Man style game before it was made.
Yeah.
Iron Man mode.
Yeah.
Kind of the same
with their
thing
own personal
with
limitations.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. No. Parnassius?
Yeah, I mean, it's not my style of play, but I mean, I know, you know, there are a lot of pewers out there and a lot who were upset when things changed, but you know, people sort of adjusted and made their own accounts, and by having these things where you can reset and such, and I'll take an example of one of our clan members who, you know, he was playing a pure account. He was only doing all skilling. He wanted no combat, and you know, had planted, I think it was a sunchoke seed, plucked that, got strength and got a strength level out of it, and, you know, ruined his pure. And, you know, little things like that. And I think, you know, this update will help a lot of those. And also for people at end of game who are looking at something to do, as Tana said, it gives them another style. You know, if they make a new account, make a pure account on top of their regular account, hey. Exactly. You know, yeah. If they got a couple of skill pures running.
And I mean, it's a question.
It's not
of,
a bad thing.
Like, if you want to play the game without Prif, the skill pair is the way to do that, because one of the quests in the Prif line requires 25 ranged, I believe. So there's no way you're getting into Prif on a skill pair, even if you could dart all the bosses and whatnot. So we're going to go through some of the accommodations made for skill pairs. this week. So if you go to Nastroth in the Lumbridge Courtyard, a number of dialogue changes have been made. First and foremost, the biggest one is XP blocking, where you will be able to block XP by saying, I want to block XP from specific skills. And with this, you will prevent yourself from ever getting XP in skills of your choice. But the caveat on this is that as a result of a request from the hit points prayers, or constitution prayers in this day and age, constitution XP will still be granted from defeating enemies in combat. So say you go out there with a bronze sword, you have all your combat XP blocked, and you kill a man or a woman at level 3. You will still get that constitution XP. And that's just something that skill peers are going to need to be aware of going forward on this. But what it does block is if there's any quests out there that give constitution XP that haven't been lamped, that will be blocked from here as well. So I think that's pretty neat that you can do that now. And I actually logged into my skill peer this week, which has been kind of dormant since before Fresh Start, and I activated the toggle on all of these, and it actually kind of got me thinking, you know, maybe it's time to dust off this character, at least after the act track is done, right? Because at that point, maybe, you know, I can, you know...
120 farming pura.
Yeah. It's already got 99 in a pet, so why not, right?
That's it. Go for the full 120. I mean, yeah. It's a legitimate 120 skill now, so...
Yeah. And, I mean, at the same point, the thing that kind of put me off it is that I was asking myself, you know, if I did this and if I continued on, I would be locking myself out of Prif, which would be locking myself out of the crystal tools, of course, and the top-end archaeology tool as well. And the highest archaeology tool I'd be able to get, I believe, is the Mkando one. So it's a wider discussion on that, and it really comes down to your personal playstyle. But as with most things in RS, you can imprint your own physical limitation on it, and then it adds another level of challenge to it. And that's where we're going to talk about a little bit after about where the peers come in 2023.
But when you say about the tools and all that, yeah, it does limit you a bit, but all that really does is bring down the XP per hour slightly, because you're not sort of critical striking as much.
Yeah, and I mean, rumor has it an augmented dragon hatchet is really not that far off of an augmented crystal. And then there's ways to compensate in the other skills.
Isn't there an Elder Rune? Oh, no, the Elder Rune.
There's the Elder Rune pickaxe, but it's not augmentable. Yeah, they're not augmentable.
That's true,
ones. So,
yeah.
But it's an entirely different gameplay, too, because remember, you're playing with just lodestones. So you take lodestones out of the game, you would be playing old school, where you wouldn't even be able to get around. So
that's another
limitation you could put on yourself. I'm not going to unlock any lodestones, right? If you wanted to, I guess you could do that. But continuing on, there's also an option to provide proof that you've never used an XP block or a reset on your account. And with this will toggle a tooltip on the combat level icon when you're inspected by a player, indicating whether or not XP has been blocked on your account or you've used a minor reset. I think that's a nice vanity feature to have.
That is, and yeah, I think that again will be...
You said it, Shane.
Vanity.
Yeah, pure vanity. You know what I'm excited about, though? Is now we can have pure alts, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, all those alts you have hanging around?
Yeah.
You can turn them into purists now.
Yeah.
I mean, they were just skilling anyway.
I actually don't have any of those. I believe that's you. Because, I mean, my Fresh Start one has combat levels. And I just have the skill peer otherwise. I only have those extra two accounts, believe it or not.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right, well, fair enough.
What, do you have alts that don't have combat levels?
I think I do have a... Yes, I believe I do.
Okay. Well, there you go. Easter weekend.
I never set out to make pures with them or whatever. I just needed resources. I just needed mules.
I did all my alts when they bought out the golden party hat. So I think they've all got XP and everything. Chasing all those shards for party hats.
Yeah, and I mean, when you look at it at the end of the day, it's an interesting situation because this is only affecting a certain segment of the population, and with that, Jagex has to be commended for doing such an update. But we'll get to that as we get to the end of these patch notes here. They also added something called the minor reset to accommodate peers who have ruined an account by overleveling. And with this, Nastroth can now reset your XP in any skill of your choice to its minimum, providing that skill does not exceed level 10 or level 15 if constitution.
And yeah, I mean, that is like just a whoopsie. This is not going to let you fundamentally change.
Right, because previously they had major resets designed to reset defense peers and constitution and prayer peers back from when EOC released. So with this, the Nastroth resets are now available on a 6-month cooldown instead of once per account. So that's good as well. I mean, if you did the reset now and you make some mistakes over the next few months, and you know, that gives
gives
a fairly wide range of wiggle room too, I think, in that, you know, going from level 1 to level 10 isn't something you do unless you accidentally open up a celebration lamp or something. But at the same time, it creates wiggle room where the 6 months means that, you know, hey, I can just be cognizant that I'm not going to, you know, level this attack beyond level 3. And then when the next 6 months is up, I can just reset it again if I were to make a mistake on that. Or if you were to, you know, make a mistake and go do a quest and get some constitution XP and do the same sort of thing.
And that's what I think is a great thing. It's not like you can't just do it all the time, but every 6 months. So, you know, you've done a reset and then 2 months down the track, you know, as you said, you accidentally pick a flower you think is okay and it gives you strength XP, or you forget your fishing rod and you've gone and, dark fishing and you did it barehanded and get strength XP, you know, well, okay, in a couple of months I can just leave it alone. In a couple of months I can reset it and I get my account back to where it should have been. So I think it's a very good update that they've done for those players that want that.
Exactly. Continuing on with this, you need to have a bank pin on your account in order to be able to use this. Which, I mean, everybody should have if you've been playing for any reasonable amount of time.
If you don't have that, everyone should be running the bank pin and two-factor authenticators.
And with this, to prevent the major resets from being used repeatedly, Nastroth will cease to provide the major resets in less than 6 months on Monday, September 18th. So this is just, in effect, cleaning things up, because after September 18th, the major resets will go away, and then you'll just use the minor resets on whichever levels that you want to use them, because it accomplishes the same thing. So that's just cleaning up a bit of legacy work there on that angle. And it's interesting in the patch notes here, because it says the limit of one major reset per account is lifted, but Nastroth's two major resets were intended for two very different types of peers, so they cannot be combined. If you intend to make use of one of Nastroth's major resets before they are removed, which when you underscore that means that they're being completely removed, those resets, you need to be sure that you activate the major reset before activating the minor reset, since the resets will share a 6-month cooldown and major resets will be removed in less than 6 months. If Nastroth is waiting 6 months after a minor reset, you won't be able to use that major reset before they're removed. And, I mean, it feels like at this point we're reading the legalese for a contract here, so I'm just going to leave that note there. And folks who need to know that or need to use that fully understand what's going on with that. Keepsake box checks now occur before Nastroth reset warning, so that if a skill reset fails due to having keepsake items, the reset does not prematurely go on 7-day cooldown. And this is actually a really important thing, skill peer related. This last patch note here, and this is probably one of the things that makes this entire Ninja Strike feel all the more wholesome, is that they removed the level 59 magic requirement on the Family Crest quest. And you might be wondering, what does that have to do with anything here? Well, the Family Crest quest is the quest that gives you those gauntlets, like the goldsmithing gauntlets, the cooking gauntlets, and so on and so forth. And one of the requirements of that quest is you needed to use, I believe it's the bolt magic spells on Chronozon, who's level 84. And as such, they said, hey, because of this, you need 59 magic, because that's when you can activate these spells. But the interesting part in the way the game has evolved since this quest came out is that you can actually kill Chronozon and progress the quest and complete the quest by using a Death Touch dart. So as a result, a skill peer can go in to Family Crest and use a dart on Chronozon and not even need that 59 magic requirement now. And that's why it was removed. Is it just allows more people to do this quest. And sure, you could still, you know, kill him the old-fashioned way if you didn't want to use a dart. But, of course, you can get darts now from the Traveling Merchant Shop. You can get them from the weekly task reward track as well. So there's plenty of sources of darts in the game. And this is just enabling more people to get through this quest. And I feel like this patch note here makes this all the more wholesome.
Yeah, fully agree.
Yep.
And you know, I remember looking at this when I made my skill peer, and I was like, okay, so how is this going to work? I mean, you can dart it, but you still need the 59 magic requirement. So I think if I ever fully pick up the skill peer here again, this will definitely be one of the quests that I can do, because we all know how important those smithing gauntlets are now, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And even the cooking gauntlets are important to, you know, bring down those non-burn rates and things. So I don't know what I think there's only two gauntlets.
No, there's three. I was trying to remember what the third one was. The chaos gauntlets. 10% damage boost to bolt spells.
that's the one no one uses. There's only two gauntlets people use. So
but I love this update this week. And granted, it's only a set of patch notes, but I think the credit needs to go out to the production team at Jagex for packaging these in so much a way that they actually feel like an update.
And I think, again, it's not a play style that I would probably use. And, you know, I say probably because, you know, in a year's time, you know, once I've got my trim comp and everything, I might say, well, hey, I'm just going to do something like this. But it gives another game style. It gives, you know, it gives that diversity of play to people. And, you know, and hey, if it brings in new accounts, if, you know, someone is maxed out and they just want to do this and they start another account, yeah, it's more money for development to do things like this. So, yeah, it can only be a good thing.
Yeah, and I mean, my skill peer started as my second Golden Party Hat account. That's when I made it.
Yeah.
So
that's when my one started.
And then you can kind of just from there meander off on which direction you want to go. But in general, I think we need to see more of this. I think we need to see more of these mini strikes focusing in around a certain area and packaging them as such as an update, because this kind of goes back to the olden days, thinking about it, where Andrew would just write a news post saying, hey, we changed, you know, this handful of things. Here's your RuneScape update for the week. And I think you could have the massive big ninja strikes and patch notes weeks, and then you could have these other little ones to sprinkle in, it can kind of, I think, fill a gap of when it feels like we have no updates. And that's my hope going forward with these sorts of things.
And is this time to revisit the prestige system on our other skills again?
No.
Yes.
I'm still on.
I want to do Slayer and Archaeology again properly. Yeah. Get XP and watch it build up.
Yeah, and I mean maybe that's a topic for a monthly bit or another one of our half monthly specials on that, because I feel like that's another rabbit hole, just like the comp stuff was when that came out. So, but I mean, hey, I mean, if they do it for comp next month, we had it for skill peers this month. So I want to say 10 out of 10 on this update. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, and I think it was perfect packaging. So, all right.
I totally agree.
All right. Retro Abyssal Whip, anyone?
Yes, please.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I feel like this is the weapon that we, you know, really got sucked into RuneScape with, because it was the first time that they presented a power fantasy that everybody wanted. Because before the whip, you know, everybody was running with, you know, the dragon longsword or the dragon dagger. But when the whip came out and we learned what the abyssal demons at level 85 slayer drop, which was a slog to get to back in the day, the power that that presented compared to the barrows and stuff that we had at the time, oh boy, oh boy. It was such a special feeling at the time. And it, this really does make me want to, you know, go and build a full set of PVM capable melee gear right now with the tier 92, and then just override it to this one.
Whips are just cool. Like, they're not in a lot of games.
And no.
It, you know, they're just, they're a different kind of weapon, and it's, I don't know, it's just kind of neat.
Yeah, and I mean, they got the transparent one, and then they got, I don't know what we call the one on the left. I know it's not the sausage roll one, because there was sausages on that one. Oh, they're calling it the remastered Abyssal Whip. So, 200 rune coins.
I mean,
they
look great.
200 rune coins are 180 for members, and once again, you know, if for some other games out there, you're looking at, you know, $20 for a cosmetic override like this, and, you know, you can get this with practically one bond, which is what, $5 if you wanted to. So
bonds like $8, but
it went up in price. Okay.
Yeah, they went up a bit. Yeah, but again, I mean, yeah, the whip was that iconic weapon. Like when I first started the game, that was the weapon you went for. You know, that was the great slayer weapon that you chased, and it's just got that nostalgic feel of wow, that was my first goal in RuneScape, was getting up to be able to get that whip and, you know, have the strength and everything to use it. So I love it, and I just wish we could get a level 92 whip out there that I could override it with.
Yeah, and the really interesting part about that is that we were actually talking about that in pre-show about where and what that means for the armor and whatnot that you wear, right? So,
yep.
In terms of how that looks. So,
that's right. I mean, you know, you get that, and then you've got to get an armor set, you know, another override set to match it and such. So, you know, great little update, this one.
You can do what I did a while back. Well, gosh, my God, I've been playing this game forever.
What'd
years
you do?
Ago at this point. I went for the Indiana Jones look. So you gotta get a brown cavalier. And then you get your whip, and then you get your hiker's outfit, right? So you got the whole kind of Indiana Jones thing going on.
Well, you got the bomber jacket in there now, so for that leather
jacket. Now you could use the bomber jacket, yeah. Yeah, wasn't there before.
Oh, my God.
And then you go down and do Barrows.
Isn't Orlando Bloom's hat a closer one to...
It's too expensive.
Probably, but I couldn't afford that.
I won. I know, but it's, to go for that ultimate look. So.
Yeah.
You guys are obviously way more into Fashionscape than I am. I just have my green outfit that goes with the farming cape.
I have everything turned off except my Master Quest cape. Everything else is hidden. So I've only got my sort of the original outfit that I started the game with. That's what I wear. The only override I use is my Master Quest cape.
Nice. All right, so with that, let's move on to the rest of our patch notes this week. A number of graphical changes made yet again. The first one touching on accessibility for Dungeoneering Tanis. Fixed an issue where the lights in the Crystal Light puzzle in Daemonhive were not displaying correctly.
That's always been a difficult puzzle, too.
Yeah.
When you can't see very well.
I saw a picture of it at somewhere earlier this week. I couldn't find it in time for the show. But it is a really big improvement in that room, I have to say.
That's great.
Yeah.
Mm.
Also,
I don't have problem, and it was always hard for me to hang on, which one is that? Yeah, so that's, yeah.
Well, I think that's a wider...
Anything that has to do with accessibility is a great
I think that's
update.
A wider dungeoneering problem, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. It's very true. It's so old now.
fixed an issue with environment visibility at the Soul Altar. All right. Adjusted lighting across the Tsar City, which carries on from the updates that we talked about last week, just generally improving the way things look in the game. And I did not hike to go and see this one. Overhauled the lighting and updated the terrain textures in the Underground Pass.
Does anyone go there? Other than for the quest?
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, with all the teleports you have now, you don't need to run through there anymore.
No, you don't. You don't.
Actually, sorry, I know one person this will help, and that'll be Earth.
Okay. No,
he doesn't use the lodestone.
No,
does
he doesn't. But he uses the crystal teleport, and that's how he gets.
Fair enough.
Past that, so. I mean, next time he needs to go to Liledia, I'll tell him that he has to teleport to Ordoin and then run through the pass. But we also got some typos fixed in quests, including Extinction and Murder on the Border. Corrected the typo Potion with two eyes to be Potion, and Rude to be Roof in quest dialogue for Murder on the Border. And then finally, this is actually good. The required items to construct the buildings during New Foundations and Murder on the Border are now listed in their quest overviews. So it'll show how many planks and whatnot that you need for that. So that's good. General patch notes, inventory icons for achievement caves have been updated to be more easily distinguishable from one another. And tool tips have been adjusted for the Super Zamorak Brew, the Spiritual Prayer Potion, the Summoning Potion, and Recipe Shop Potions. Then we got an interesting one where the description when destroying the Mask of the White Worm has been corrected to show the right price. Previously, the description claimed that the price was 50,000 GP when the correct price was actually 35,000 GP on that. And there's your patch notes for the week, everyone. Nice round selection, including all the stuff about peers. All right. Before we move on, I want to thank some Patreon supporters for this week, because as they know, and as the listeners probably know, we do so much around here because of the Patreon supporters, and we take great pride in the fact that so much of what we do here is community-driven. So this week, I'd like to thank Alfie S., Amos Reed, Andrew C., Arvids L., Beekeeper Steve, Big Huge Rat, Chunk the Monk, Cycle RS, Drama Free, Duramax, Enrique V., Free Milk, Jacob G., Jade Gizmo, Jason S., Jeebus, Jesse W., Keski, Ling01, Mohan V., Nate the Great, Parnassius, Ricky A., RS Nerdherd, Samuel FL, Scott DS, Shirt Pants, Stob Eve, Tabby, The Naked Captain, The Dabbing Goat, Tim, Tom V, Zant, and Zazakon. Thanks so much, everybody, and as we mentioned, that means the world to us. These guys have access to an entire back catalog of soon-to-be 58 monthly bits out there talking about a variety of subjects. The one that was most recently passed was the part two of the skill tier list, and you might remember September last year we built a tier list ranking the RuneScape skills from A to D, and then with that, this time we're going to go through them, parse through that list, and say what are the good characteristics of the skills and what are the bad characteristics, and how exactly do our tier lists show on that. So that's what the patrons voted for. If that sounds interesting to you, if you want to hear that when it arrives late next week, you can sign up for as little as $1 a month at patreon.com/rsbnb. And with that, you'll also gain access to all the other monthly bits, and you'll be helping to fund the cost for hosting and production of the podcast. We also do have the VIP tier for $3 a month, where you'll get a special rank on Discord, including a chat channel, mentioned on the podcast at the start of the month and access to high-quality stereo versions of the show. And if you want to give the ultimate gift, we have our Insider tier for $5 a month, where you'll receive a shout-out on the podcast each and every week, in addition to everything else, and you also gain access to the clips that we use to make the clip show. And of course, a big, huge thank you goes out to all of our Patreon supporters right now. They're involved in taking our annual Patreon survey. If you are a Patreon member and you haven't yet taken the survey, please go and do that. You can find the post pinned on the Patreon website, or even if you're a new Patreon member, you feel like signing up right now, you want to have your impact on Patreon offerings, sign up. Any of our Patreon tiers can take that, and definitely getting some interesting results from that so far about what you guys like and where we're going to take this thing in the next year or so. So, of course, a big thank you again to everybody out there. Patreon.com/RSBNB. Thanks so much, everyone. All right. I feel like this one needs to be shouted out and about from above the rafters right now. We got an update on the Jagex accounts and the closed beta as of today, March 30th, recording day. The approximate percentage of eligible accounts now to convert over to this is 50% of RuneScape accounts. 50% of players are now going to be able to use this. And just a quick recap of how this is going to work. They expect to move into open beta in early April, and that means that you'll be able to opt in and start using this, and they're going to talk about it more in the March newsletter that's going to unveil how you can do that. But what happens with this is that this is, in essence, a leveling up of account security that I think in large part probably started with the login lockout and growing those systems that were surrounding that. So the solution is the Jagex accounts, which we talked about before, but as a recap for people who might not be aware, these accounts, they say, allow for increased security and stability, better than what is currently offered on old school RuneScape and RuneScape accounts, in that they use industry standard technology in when it comes to verifying your account, two-factor authentication, and the forms of passwords that can be used. And people might not know this, but your RuneScape password, as it was when you first made your account, could not handle capital letters or symbols on that, so much so that if you entered, say, a dollar sign in your account, the client, when you were entering that, would just treat it as the number 4. So you would think you were entering a dollar sign, but in reality, you were just entering letters and numbers. So this is a huge step up in that. And it also makes it so that if you have multiple accounts like we do, you'll only be entering in one email address to log in, and then you'll go to the Jagex launcher, choose which one you want to use, and open it up as you have been doing if you do already use the Jagex launcher. They also got support for the authenticator apps out there, like Google Authenticator, and with that, it's actually better than what's out there right now on the RuneScape accounts for authenticator, in that you're actually able to have backup codes. So if you ever lose your authenticator, you won't need to go through customer support to have your authenticator turned off to access your account. All you do is you save your backup code somewhere safe, and then you can log in with those. And as I mentioned, also very robust passwords on this. And the best way to figure out if you have access to this is to go to runescape.com. And once again, we'll say it because, you know, it's a classic thing, getting phished for your RuneScape account. runescape.com, sign in there, click the account button, and you'll know if you're eligible by seeing, if you see a banner that says enhance your security with an upgrade button on it. And if you do that, you'll be taken through the process of creating a Jagex account. You'll set up a Jagex username, which is independent of your RuneScape accounts. And then with that, you can migrate that over to the Jagex launcher, and you're good to go after you add your accounts. And you'll just have to enter in your usernames or emails and passwords of your RuneScape accounts one more time, and then you'll have full access to it under your Jagex account. And it's really as simple as that. I feel like this has been a long time coming. And if you have any questions about how this works, we'll have the full links in the show notes to this page at update.show. And with that, the Piers Jagex also has a video on this as well. So are you guys going to be being an early adopter like I chose to do today?
Definitely. As soon as we finish the show, I'm jumping on to do this.
All right, Tannis.
I think anything that enhances security is a good thing. So,
yeah, especially RuneScape.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to wait, but you guys have kind of talked me into go ahead and pull the trigger now, and it almost feels like Pinocchio becoming a real boy, right? Because this is not uncommon everywhere else, so this is kind of cool. And I'd already been using it somewhat. I mean, not this.
The launcher.
But I was already using the launcher, where you could do, you know, you put in your emails and stuff. But that even, you know, that would get a little tedious when, you know, back with Fresh Start when you were going to one account and then you have to come out and go into the other one. And so this is going to be nice.
Yeah, and you know, I like we said, long time coming. I think probably part of this came out of the login lockout, and with modernizing systems on the login lockout, you start asking the question, okay, well, if we're modernizing it, what can we do on the player side and whatnot? And I think when this officially launches or goes into open beta, they'll definitely have to do some sort of live stream where they got the tech team on from that, because I know you and I really enjoyed watching that live stream where these folks talked about that sort of stuff. I forget how you described the 1J mod on that episode.
Well, I forget too, but yeah, he was something.
Yeah, but
Just in before you know, Shane and I, who were just going to adopt it, and Tannis, who wanted to wait just to make sure it was secure, I just want to get in before Tannis gets locked out that it was his own decision. We didn't twist his arm into it.
Right. Yeah. No.
And just to give
you Shane's power persuasion.
Yeah, just to give you guys an idea on how this has progressed. On the 14th of March, they said it was 1% of the accounts. A week later, on the 20th, they brought it up to 5%. 3 days later, to 15%. 4 days after that, to 25%. And another 3 days after that, up to 50%. So what that tells me, from looking at this, is they have internal metrics in terms of how the accounts are being created. And if there's any sort of issues with the systems behind the scenes, if they're getting any sort of bug reports on that in terms of the volume, and if they're not, that's what in effect gives them the green light to open it up to more and more players.
Mm.
That's my feeling on how this goes.
Yeah, it's been running for 2 weeks, and they've gone, as you said, from basically the 1% up to 50%. I think it's pretty safe.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, at some point, I feel like everybody's going to be moved over to this regardless, and it'll be kind of like that process that it took however long. I think it was, what, when did they kill Java? Was that December 2019, I think? I feel like it.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah. I think it was around then.
I feel like that's going to be the same kind of thing that we're going to be on to this, where you're going to have these very few skeptical holdouts out there. But nonetheless, I don't think this is anything we have to be afraid of. So I'd say if you feel like you're an early adopter, go for it now. But if not, wait till open beta and then definitely do it once release comes, depending on how you feel. That would be my advice to everybody out there. All right. Then comes the Golden Gnomes. These were announced last Friday. Winners of the 12th annual Golden Gnomes. Did you guys watch the presentation? I didn't get around to it because it was on Friday, and Friday is one of my busy days.
It's not something I really get excited about, these type of things. Sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine. Well, let's go through who won for RS3 then. Best new RuneScape video creator, Waydot. I haven't heard of this person. Have you guys? Which I guess is why they're the new creator, so that's good. Best video creator, Protox. No introduction needed. And best...
He's one I have heard of.
Yeah, best RuneScape video. This 20-year-old MMO is finally good again by Jimmy with a 1. emphasis on finally good again. Interesting, I think, isn't it? But the way this works is that the community submits these. So this is where how the community felt things landed on this. So that's wonderful. Streaming side again, best new streamer, Waydot. Best RuneScape streamer, Sick Nerd. I feel like we've heard of him, and definitely interesting to see him on this category, because I feel like his streamer isn't cookie cutter the way most of the other ones are.
Yeah, a little variety there.
Yeah, I know. I know folks in Clan Quest enjoyed watching him when he was going through all the quests, because you don't really ever see people playing quests on stream now, do you?
You don't see people doing anything other than three PBM. Bosses.
Yeah.
I don't. I will admit I don't watch.
And to be fair, you can stream other things, and people do, but they just don't generate the amount of traffic that high-end PBM does. Go ahead, Pern. I cut you off.
No, there. I was just saying I don't watch RuneScape streaming videos or YouTube videos anymore. The only time if new boss comes out, I want to see how a mechanic works, I might flick it on, but that's about it.
Yeah, and you know it. I'd be interested to know if this is like a content creator's thing or if it's just me. But one thing I've found over the last number of years is that I don't watch any content creators anymore, really, for any game.
Yeah.
For any game.
Nope. Yep. I'm right there with you, Shane. And I used to.
Yeah.
But I don't now. And I don't know.
Like, if there's something, like, I know where to go if I want to, you know, look up what the new tank is in World of Tanks, or what the new starship is in Stowe, or what the newest fangled thing on ESO is. But with RuneScape, we're so into this, we got our ear down to the rail, so to speak, that it's kind of difficult to pay attention to other creators, I feel. And
yeah, I agree.
I don't watch any RS creators, and over the years, you can tell me if this is true as well, that the amount of creators you watch for other games has dwindled too, because that's the same position I'm in.
It is. It's particularly significant in RS, I feel, because I feel like there's a couple categories, right? There's PVM, which I just don't have any interest in. But then it seems like when it's not PVM, it's just sensationalizing whatever the flavor of the
a lot of negativity.
Yeah, and it's just this. I mean, really, it's just this sensationalizing.
Yeah.
Little things.
And in some ways, that's the same reason I don't go on Reddit as well. Is that aside from that, I don't want to bias myself for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I watch everybody, I'll have my opinion assigned to me. And I think that's one thing a lot of people don't realize is that when it comes to any kind of media, real life or game related, the vast majority of people out there, upwards of 90%, have their opinions assigned to them without realizing it.
Yep.
So
that's why I never block anyone on Twitter or anything, because I want to see both sides all the time.
Exactly. I mean, unless it's, you know, just outright spam, but
well, yeah, of course,
it's a different story. Anyways, media 101 lesson aside there, I feel like that could be its own thing. The art awards. Now these ones are definitely something. Best new RuneScape artist, Evergreen, best RuneScape artist, NY channel, and the best artistic creation is a lo-fi RuneScape moment by Sweezy, which has an entire room, it's a painting done digitally, of course, with a whole bunch of RuneScape-themed Easter eggs throughout it. You can see the Hunter Skill Cape and various other things inside the scene here. So, I mean, it's definitely a very nice piece of art. It's got lots of depth to it, and I'd imagine the person here, the creator, if they wanted to at this point with this, could probably sell some prints of this and make a pretty nice profit on that. So, but the thing that blew me the most away out of these golden gnomes was the best cosplay creation of Nature Sentinel by Cray Critter. We were debating with this in pre-show. Is this 3D printed or is this actual wood on this?
It's phenomenal, whatever it is. Yeah. I don't normally say, get excited over these things, but that is...
Oh, I don't get excited about cosplays either, but yeah.
No, but that is something that it's like, wow, I'd wear that. if I was going to a fancy dress party, that's something I'd say, I would wear that.
But everyone would think you were an ant from Lord of the Rings, right?
But... That's fine.
No one would cast RuneScape.
And I'm wondering if it's a real wood, leaves, and moss on here. I mean, like zooming into it, it certainly looks that way.
Yeah, the moss and leaves looks like it's real. I still think it's 3D printed, but it looks so much like real wood. They've just,
I mean,
hats off to them. They've done a phenomenal job.
The issue, though, if you did 3D printing, that would be pretty heavy. So I think...
That would.
I think,
yeah, I was like, wait a minute.
Right, and that's why I'm going to present a third option here, because we were just talking 3D printed or wood. But I was thinking, what if it's just styrofoam that's sculpted and spray painted?
Can you do that?
If that is, that's a hell of a lot of work.
Because you can get
even more.
Because you can get you have your typical packing styrofoam, right? But you can get a higher density styrofoam that you can actually shave and sculpt.
Yeah.
And then with that, you can airbrush after that, Because that would be the lightweight.
No matter what, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, that would be the lightweight doing it. So.
Yeah.
But that one absolutely blew me away. And like we said, we're not typically a bunch of people here to jump up and down about a cosplay creation. So.
But even the way they're standing with their legs spread like that, it does look like it's got a bit of weight behind it.
Right.
Because, you're sort of balancing yourself with your legs spread wider than you'd normally stand.
Right. Fair enough.
But whatever, it is phenomenal. Well done to, who was that? That was Craig Critter. Yeah.
Yeah. Tree Boy. Just reading the Instagram post right now. It's made with puzzle piece foam materials.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and of course we go into the Instagram post that says what it is. We were guessing, and we kind of got it right.
Well, you did in the end.
Well, yeah.
But of course,
that's a hell of a lot of work then, because that would all have to be hand carved. So.
Yeah.
Even more kudos to him.
And to get the balance right, so the arms and the symmetry is all there, is something as well.
Mm.
So, but also with the Golden Gnomes comes the Community Champion, and this is an award that we always keep our eyes peeled open to. And this one this year was the RuneScape Art Community, which is interesting because it's kind of a sub-Discord of the main RuneScape Discord. They have their own Discord and whatnot. There's lots of JMods in there. There's lots of artists. There's a section where people can go in there and scout out a commission, share art, that sort of thing. And just reading from this here, they say, "It's with utmost pleasure we acknowledge the RAC, the RuneScape Art Community, as an absolute powerhouse in the RuneScape community. From being on the forefront of engaging the swaths of artists, writers, and musicians around the scene in monthly prompts." And they say, this month's stained glass is amazing. They also schedule collaborations such as the Art Fight. And they say they have been a constant ocean of wonderful pieces made by amazing, talented artists. So, as per usual, I think they always hit the spot with the RuneScape art community. So right on that. And there's your Golden Gnomes for this year. It's going to be nice when they can actually finally get back and start doing these things in person again, eh?
Yes.
So. Alrighty. Well, we started off the show talking about peers and the changes that came to peer accounts this week. But what we also wanted to do with this is just have a bit of a discussion of about maybe 20, 30 minutes or so, maybe a bit less, on the history of peers in RuneScape, because I got thinking about this week, and I know I jogged your memory as well, Tanis, about where peers initially started. And I want to kind of just nail down a definition first. So a peer is a player who deliberately chooses not to level certain skills to obtain an advantage in combat or for prestige purposes. Do you guys agree with that general definition of what a peer is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to start with the origin of peers. And I feel like these things started way back in the day with the primary goal of being centered around PvP, in that you would lower your combat level but have higher offensive stats so that you would have an advantage over somebody who was about the same combat level. The idea being is that if you were, you know, level 60, spec'd primarily into, say, attack, but somebody else was evenly balanced between attack, constitution, and defense, you would have the leg up on them and be able to hit them harder and faster than they could hit you, which would provide the benefit for old-school RuneScape PvP prior to the wilderness being removed. And that's where I feel that this thing started. Do you guys have any memories of old PvP wilderness peers?
Only after you brought it up, I was like, oh, that's right.
I'm sure you got smacked by a few runecrafting back in the day.
Oh, yeah. And we learned quickly not to go in the wilderness. It wasn't friendly.
Yeah, my first and only foray into the wilderness just got killed out there. I'd had nothing. I was just going, oh, what's this area? I've gone out there, got smacked. Go, yeah, okay, people kill out here, so I'm not going back there again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but that to me, I mean, yeah, the pure was always that that combat thing where just to get that
the solo hunter, so to speak, is the way I kind of saw them. Because you would go into the wilderness, and the idea behind it is that you would, at that point, in effect, be able to kill someone who is higher level than you because you probably had higher combat stats than them, or surprise somebody who was of equal combat to you, and that they wouldn't be able to fight back. And that, of course, you probably gained a great deal of notoriety around that as well. And, you know, I remember back in the day that peer was a dirty word in parts of the community.
Well, that's the funny thing with, like, I completely, I don't know if I blocked this out or just didn't remember it, because pure to me was always somebody that was a level 3 skiller, right? Like, and then I was like, wait a minute, Shane's right. I forgot about the PvP and the combat guys. But I mean, when I thought of pure, Yeah, pre-EOC, but because what always came to my mind was the level 3 skillers.
Mm. And that's a post-EOC thing, because I think Pures after that did become skillers.
Oh, no, it was definitely pre-EOC as well.
Okay.
For the longest time, even, you know, shortly after RS2 launched, RSBNB hosted what was the largest skill peer clan in-game, Peaceful. With two L's, believe it or not.
Oh, there you go.
It was a clan specifically designed for skill peers, and this was before EOC. So, and you know, I feel like the definition of peer, in my view, was always combat related, and the skill peers were underneath pre EOC, which sounds different than what Tanis's perspective was.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, yeah, again, yeah, to me, the pure to me before EOC was, yeah, combat pures out there killing people, and sort of post-EOC pure just became, oh, yeah, you're a skilling pure now because, yeah, you're just not chasing the combat and such, you're just getting all the skills up. So, yeah, it's funny how three different people, three different perspectives.
And those are the things that we always like highlighting with these sorts of segments. But an interesting thing happened with the launch of a certain minigame called Soul Wars. Soul Wars was seen as the production factory for peers, because what it allowed you to do, and you guys tell me if you ever grinded Soul Wars for combat, that's how I ground to 100 combat myself back in the day. Soul Wars allowed for you to get combat XP in the combat skills without gaining hit points XP, which was another way to further your peer.
Yeah, the only experience I had with Soul Wars was for achievements that I needed to do there.
Not Soul Wars. Sorry. Pest control. Sorry. Pest control.
Oh, I love pest control.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. That was my favorite minigame, pest control.
Yeah.
And you were able to do it with Soul Wars to an extent, but I feel like the bigger one came from pest control.
Yeah. I mean, I played a lot of both of those mini games for different reasons. I mean, I played a lot of Soul Wars for Slayer VIP tickets from Valor, but never for pure
for XP. You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we know where
I did a lot.
And we know where the best XP is post DOC, post ED3 still for combat.
Yeah, I mean, I like I said, I was doing it so I could turn Valor into VIP tickets.
Yeah. Yeah. I still have a pet and an abyssal thing that dropped that I need to convert into a pet at some point with the number of tokens from Soul Wars or whichever it is.
Nice.
Yeah, I just can't be bothered to go back at this point, you know? But you guys aware of the pejorative PC product? Pest control product?
Uh-uh.
Where were you guys in like 2007?
Pest control. I just loved
it. Oh, well,
for the
I wasn't
armor.
Here yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't start till 2011.
Oh, okay. So,
I'm only 12 years old on RuneScape.
Okay. So, you know, I mentioned that the word peer at one point was kind of a dirty word, right? Well, another pejorative that was used was the PC product, the pest control product, is that people would, at some point in the community, look down at these people who trained their combat stats using pest control because you could tell because their attack was far out of balance with their constitution or something, right? And
oh, really? See, I did pest control for the glass cannon armor. And then eventually they made it even better, and then I just liked it.
Oh, yeah. People used to do it for the XP all the time.
Oh, wow.
I did it for the void, the elite void armor.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah. Because that was so good. That armor was brilliant to use at Dagonoth Kings.
And once again, I'm just having my mind blown the fact, you know, we have three different perspectives here on pest control.
But that's it. But I mean, you're looking at
it. And they all
kind of
factor into the peer equation, but they're slightly different.
You're a
21
year old account. I'm a 12 year old account. And I think Tanis is what, probably 14 or 15?
Yes. I started in an 08.
So you guys never experienced the stigma of training combat at pest control then?
No.
No.
Wow. Okay. And in many ways, I feel like, you know how everybody min-maxes now with your combat gear and whatnot, or min-maxes to get the optimal amount of XP per hour, right? I feel like
the
min-maxing,
I still don't understand that.
I feel like the min-maxing that happened for that generation of RuneScape was the combat performance through making a peer, in that you would be able to, in effect, tilt the scales and such for PvP. Because, you know, everybody, of course, now says that when you go do combat and you go do these bosses at high enrage streaks and whatnot, that's where you get the thrill from now in RuneScape PVM. But before EOC, that was PvP, and you needed a peer at times to do that effectively.
Okay. I mean, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, and that's an era of the game that's just entirely gone.
And
I think we fully realized that and managed the removal of PvP this past summer with the Wilderness PvP removal and the remaster of the
Update
Wilderness.
Of the decade still.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I never shed a tear over it. I mean, just saying.
Okay. Well, put yourselves in these shoes then, and I don't know, maybe you guys don't like PvP that much.
I've spent more time in the Wilderness since they removed it than I have in my entire 12 years of playing.
Okay. And I understand why people PvP in RS. There's an adrenaline rush behind it. And there definitely was back in the old days with your peers and whatnot.
Yeah, but there's an adrenaline rush for going up and punching a baby in the face and stealing their candy too. But, I mean, it doesn't mean it's a good thing.
I mean, if you want an adrenaline rush in combat, Shane?
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing like the adrenaline rush to put some money on the line, jumping in the arena.
Oh, the sad casino?
Yeah. Bring back the sand casino and tax it.
But anyway,
gold thing, tax it 75%.
Yeah, right. There we go.
But the point is that peers were PvP back in the day, and come EOC and RuneScape 3, peers effectively disappeared overnight when wilderness PvP and the free trade was removed, and following EOC, that was another nail in the coffin for PvP and peers as well. And you, at that point, ask yourself, why would somebody make a peer, a combat peer?
Yeah, I honestly have... You don't really see... That's why I said post-EOC, pure to me was a skilling pure, because I just never saw a combat pure.
Yeah. I mean, there wasn't any point to that.
Yeah. Mm. And I feel like the discussion on combat peers after EOC comes down to one focused around vanity, challenge, and prestige. In that, if you can go out there and, you know, kill a boss with one defense, nice. But also at the same time, post EOC, that cuts you out off of a number of great defensive abilities. So,
but that's like the difference, though, too, like between. Originally, it was deception. I'd much rather have vanity than deception, which was the main goal, right? I mean, that's what you've explained and highlighted.
That's how I felt it was. And I mean, if there's somebody in the woodwork listening who was a, you know, a PvP peer back in the day, please get in contact with us. I scratched my Discord list long and hard. I scratched my friends list long and hard in game. I looked at the Clan Quest roster. And nobody was jumping out to me as having been a peer back in the day. I did talk with one of my friends who did run a PvP clan back in the day, and you know, we talked about it for a bit, and the general consensus from him was that peers were largely for solo PvP, and that's how you PvP'd back prior to the wilderness PvP removal. And prior to EOC. But now, I mean, you really have to ask the question, why, I think. Why would you do that? And we'll go into why you would make any kind of peer in 2023 in just a bit. But I want to go through some of the types of peers right now. I want to talk about the accident. The 9 HP prayer, or peer, rather. There's only a few of these in-game still. There was a time where accounts were brought over from RuneScape Classic, and some of them were bugged in that they were only brought over with 9 HP. So there are accounts out there that only have 9 HP, and if you don't train that, you can still have that 9 HP today.
Wasn't there a point where Andrew Gower, like as a punishment, used to set people to like 1 HP or something like that if he caught them doing something wrong? He just like...
Maybe? That sounds kind of familiar, but I don't have an authoritative
answer. Yeah, I heard a story. I don't know if it's true or if it's just, you know, an urban legend, but I heard where someone pissed, you know, you'd piss Andrew Gower off, go, right, so we just drop your HP to 1 and you had to sort of build it back up again.
Which wouldn't be that hard, thinking about it, but you know.
No, of course not, but yeah. Although back in the classic days, it's probably a lot harder than it is these days.
Yeah, because, I mean, 1 HP, you get smacked by anything at that point. But if the 9 HP peers were special cases, they were accidents in most parts. Then we get to the 1 defense peer, and I feel like this was the most common going back. Most of these people took their accounts to level 60 in RS2 for dragon weaponry, but it was also, of course, feasible at times to take your peer to level 82 magic and do Desert Treasure to get Ice Blitz, because we all know how obnoxious those ice spells were for freezing people.
Oh, yes.
And once again, you emphasize that one defense, but there's other variations as well that were included, like maybe not leveling up summoning and prayer, because that would be seen as the hardest. Some people might have only taken prayer to level 15, for example. Some people might say, oh, I need protect from Elise, so they might have took it only to 43. So there's different levels of peer. There's a spectrum from, I guess what you could say, the purest of being one defense and one summoning and one prayer on one end, to the other side, where you start to work other things in, like maybe some summoning, maybe some prayer, depending on where you land. But
you're saying peers are on the spectrum, Shane?
Well, you can put anything on a spectrum if you really want
that's,
to.
That's true.
So, and you know, I think you can have something called the peer spectrum in RS when it comes down to it. And I feel like skill peers are at the furthest end of that spectrum, because they keep all their combat stats at one. And that was, of course, the focus of this week's update. But looking at these, do any of these, like, if you were back in the day, would any of these have an appeal to either of you?
I've always been an all-rounder, so sort of that pure type thing never interested me at all, because I just like to train everything and just see sort of a tick up and have sort of an all round account. But you know, if they had like a competition similar to your Fresh Start Worlds, you know, they brought out like a 3 or 4 month competition to do something like that. Again, okay. you know bonds, you know bonus XPs or whatever, and just to challenge to work out the best way to get to get a pure with nothing else, only farming or only only wood cutting, something like that. It'd be interesting.
And that gets to what peers can be in 2023. Obviously, we had the skill peer update this week, but like you said, peers can also be done for a challenge or for prestige rather than a combat benefit, because you don't really need that in this day and age. So it's easier than ever to do that now with this week's update. And I think, like you said, that's where we go from here. You go to some kind of fresh start, like limited mode, where you could have accounts that are limited in terms of what skills they can train, now that that clearly exists in game. I know, Tanis, you wanted to highlight some of this.
Yeah, no, I really I agree with that. And that would be the thing that drew me into it, right? I think, you know, your idea of perhaps even pairing that with an Iron Man, a group Iron Man thing would be absolutely wonderful.
And what that means is one person would only be able to train gathering skills. One person would only be able to train combat skills. One person would only be able to train artisan, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that sounds fun. You know, I think it's one of those things where they had this update, they had it ready. It was waiting on some other things that had to be in place first. So it was a matter of, you know, we can release this now and get it out the door because it's been sitting here for a minute, or we, you know, wait even longer to try to put it together a bigger package. Now, I'm somebody that doesn't mind waiting for bigger packages, but I can see why, you know, you'd want to get this out the door. And I mean, and I guess you can always wrap it up later, you know, going forward, you could always include this in a timed event like Fresh Start was.
Well, that's right.
I would be all over that.
This would be a good thing, though. I mean, release it like this. See if there's some interest in it. Make sure it works okay, and then get it out into this year's competition, this year's sort of Fresh Start Worlds. You'd love to see something like that, because I'd love to see in RS3 sort of you know, what they had in Fresh Start Worlds, where there was that competitive side. Yes, that leads, you know, people complain, oh, it leads to, you know, unhealthy lifestyles and this type of thing. But, you know, people have got to be responsible for themselves. You can't blame someone else.
On.
I mean, take responsibility for the way you are.
Yeah.
You know, don't punish the majority because there's a couple of people who can't control themselves. We need to have more of that type of thing.
Seriously, you can sit at home, do heroin all day long too, but it's probably not going to work out for you.
Exactly. I mean, it just, you know. It's like here in Australia, I can only go to the casino 24 hours a week. And sort of 2 months after they pass that rule, the government opens their own online keno site 24/7. So I can go and play poker for 24 hours a week, or I can sit at home playing keno for, you know, 97 hours.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's just like, come on. Yeah, there's a time for protecting people from themselves, and there's a time people have to stand up and do it, you know, look after their own things. Take responsibility, you're a freaking adult.
Yep.
I don't know how we got to peers from that, but it's an interesting discussion in terms of limited
logic, Shane.
No, logic. No, it's just, but yeah, I'm saying because people complained about Fresh Start Worlds, you know, it led to an unhealthy lifestyle where people were playing, you know, sort of 16, 18, 20 hours a day, and, you know, and that's not healthy. But I mean, it's also not JAGX's fault that, you know, people can't control themselves, and, you know, we shouldn't be punished because a couple can't control themselves is what, you know, is basically what my point was. And I'd love to see, you know, a 3 or 4 month competition where, you know, we had this pure type thing and, you know, work it out around that. It'd be fantastic.
That's it. I'm suing McDonald's. I'm overweight and I think it's their fault. I went there tonight. I can't help it. You know?
But when you look at this at the end of the day, in terms of JAGX updates that they have put out, I don't know how much dev work went into the peer update this week. I don't. But if we were able to spin off an entire 3 month competitive mode from this, in terms of skill blocking and utilizing the high score infrastructure they had from before,
yeah,
that would be interesting.
And it's because a lot obviously, more bang right, for your buck.
Right, because right? Obviously right now the user interface for this is you go talk to Nastroth and you block XP and a skill. But what's to say JAGX just doesn't decide to do that?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, that could just be a step in the you know, process of onboarding, right? If you had a timed event like that. Like,
yeah.
Okay, well, what are you blocking? Or, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think there's a lot of possibilities with it, other than just some kind of incentive other than making up your own game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And if anything, it's interesting to look how we've gone from something that was PvP related prior to EOC in RS2 era to something here that is now based around the prestige and vanity of it, to saying maybe this is how, you know, a future Fresh Start Worlds like, or something like Fresh Start Worlds could take off for RS3, I think that proves there was merit in the idea in 2004, and there still is merit in it today. It just needs to be applied correctly. And I think that's going to be the grand realization of this peer discussion.
I think you're right.
So, hopefully you guys enjoyed that, and this is once again a bit of a preview behind the curtain. We called this one effectively half a monthly bit in terms of how we produce this. So if you like this, please do let us know. But with that, we're going to move on to our achievements right now. We only got a handful of them this week. So starting off on the 28th of March, we had Barizi, who got 99 cooking, also 99 farming on the 27th. Then we have Lady Claw with 120 agility on the 27th as well.
And moving on to March 26th, we have Zone X 9191 with 99 archaeology, my favorite skill. And on March 25th, Nafan with my second favorite skill, 120 Slayer.
Right on.
All right. And then moving on, also on the 25th, we have Worst Tasker with 99 prayer. And we have Nard with 99 farming on March 24th.
Nicely done, everyone. All right, we got two picks of the week, both TV shows this week. We're going to let Parnassius go first because he's going solo on this one.
Okay, this one, it's a show on Netflix. It's another one from South Korea. It's called Physical 100. I sort of describe it as a cross between Ninja Warrior and Squid Games, although they don't kill the losers if they when they drop out. So that was the one sad thing, but anyway, it is a reality show. It's, maybe in 10 years' time I'll start doing that, but... But no, but basically they bring in 100 of 100 people in top physical shape, men and women, for all walks of life. You know, you've got bodybuilding competition people, you've got wrestlers, there's a car salesman in there, a whole lot of different people, and basically it's a battle to the end with one person standing, and they win 300 million won at the end, which I think is something like a million US dollars, I think it worked out at. But anyway, it is an incredible show to see the physicality of it. If you can handle dub shows, I mean, the people when they're talking, you don't get that excitement of actual hearing the real voices. But
oh, okay.
Yeah, as I said, you can watch it if you understand South Korean. Great, watch it that way. But if like me, you watch it dubbed. You really the talking is secondary. It is the competition itself. You watch these people, and it is incredible. I mean, basically, they start off with a competition just to divide people into groups. First off, where they've got to hang from these metal poles on a roof for the last one standing type thing. They sort of. That divides them into sort of a top 50 and bottom 50, and then they get to sort of choose who they're going to compete against. It moves on to sort of a wrestling type battle to wipe out 50% of the competition. So by the time you get to the first actual quest, as they call it, half the people are gone, and they just keep going. And by the end of it, just The stuff that they put these people through. I mean, there were competitors passing out. They were pushing themselves that far. They were vomiting.
Oh God!
Just to get to the. I mean, I'm surprised no one did die on the show. They were pushing them that hard. I mean, the second last competition, the semi final, basically. I mean. I was in pain just watching it. My muscles were killing me just watching what these people were being put through. So, I highly recommend it. If you like that sort of that physical reality type show, your Ninja Warriors, that type of thing, and you enjoy Squid Games, check this out. Physical 100, it's on Netflix. Really, really good show.
All right, sounds good. You know, this makes me interested in both this and Squid Game, actually, thinking about it now.
Oh, Squid Game, you gotta watch Squid Game.
Oh, yeah, Shane, you're late, man.
I know.
I was very hesitant on it myself.
Was that you, Tanis, that told me to watch Squid Game?
I think so, because I was hesitant at first, too, but it's good.
It's funny, my son said, no, you watch it once. Oh, okay, I flicked on the first episode, I'm going, okay, and I watched it in 2 days.
Yeah, that's about right. How I was too.
All right, let's get to our pick of the week then, Tanis.
All right. Well, it's no surprise we are fans of Star Trek here at the show, and Picard has another season, season 3.
Episode 7 airing tonight. Mm-hmm. 3 left after this. Hard to believe.
Yeah.
We waited a while because we wanted to get into it and see where it was going to go, because I feel season 1 and 2 did not capture that same kind of next-gen feeling, but it's safe to say that they got everything, I think, with the immersion right this time, and they got everybody back together again.
Yeah, I mean, they got the band's back together, right? Like, the first 2 seasons I thought were good. They kind of had the label of, new Star Trek with some familiar, a few familiar faces. But this feels like It's different.
Yeah.
It's different from the first two seasons.
And one of the interesting parts about this, they brought on some of the production designers from the Next Gen who were actually involved in writing the TNG technical manual. And to them, they said, this is the spiritual successor. This feels like the Next Generation Season 8 in terms of how it was written, how it was built, and, of course, the design behind it as well, which I think is what a lot of people have been asking for since 2003 and Star Trek Nemesis.
Yeah, well, it's really fun, too, to kind of see where all the players went and what they did. And, you know, and now they're coming back and how that's all intertwining. And it's probably, now it started off a little rocky for me. I wasn't sure if I was liking it at first. I liked the first episode, but the second episode kind of, I wasn't real sure. And then it just grabbed me on the every episode after that. I was just like, oh, it's getting better. Oh, and it's getting even better. And there's so many like things from the Next Gen.
Yep.
Not just the actors, but some other what would you call it, Shane? Like nostalgia moments.
That... Yeah, and threads that were hinted at but never fully explored.
Yeah, and Easter eggs galore.
Just yes.
All over the place.
Yeah, it's something that, you know how we can go through a Lore Diggers episode and highlight all the lore Easter eggs in a RuneScape piece of content? The Star Trek fans can definitely do this in Season 3 of Picard.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And I will just say also with this one, you know, we talked a lot about Strange New Worlds last year and how that was a perfect onboarding point for people mm-hmm. who would be new to Star Trek, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like this series is best for people who really like Next Generation.
Next Gen, you know, I'm going to throw in something else, though.
Deep Space Nine?
Exactly. One of the greatest and most wonderful Star Trek villain races.
That's where we're going to leave it.
Yeah.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
No, for people who've watched DS9, probably already know what we're going at there. But nonetheless, three episodes left. Perfect time to jump in. This one really lends itself to watching it all back to back to back. I think I'm going to do that after it's done. Watch as much as I can all together again on that. So
that's a problem these days with things like Netflix. I can't watch show that gets released one episode a week anymore.
Yeah, well, that's what this is.
So I just binge watch.
It's hard.
Yeah. No, I've become one of those satisfy me now type people, and I binge watch the whole lot.
Yeah, it's hard because both shows that I watch right now, they're both weekly releases with Picard and Mando.
I'm hanging for Mandalorian to be finished, so I can.
And another fun thing about Picard, pretty much all the ships that aren't the Titan are Star Trek Online models.
Dude, they're all cool too. They're all so good.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. What have we been doing? Let's start with you, Parnassius.
Basically. Yak tracking. I need 77 coins to unlock all the rewards. I'm currently sitting at 50. So all I've really been doing on the game lately is mining. I've just done 25k light and dark Animica. I'm now chasing 25k runite. And then I've turned them all into bars. So I've hit I'm up to 156 mining XP now.
Using the Tannis method.
Uh-huh.
I tend to Iron Man most of my stuff. The only thing I really buy are weapons and things like that. Or, you know, if I need seeds are so cheap at the moment, so I've just stocked up on pretty much 10k of all the types of seeds to keep in my little seed bag for when I need them. But, I don't buy a lot on the GE. I don't want to rush the game. I mean, I like doing things myself, and you know, what's the point in just buying all the ore to turn into to do my smithing when I'm going to have to get mining up anyway? So I might as well mine it and then do it all myself.
Yep.
Fair enough.
I hear you. I went that route myself.
What Yak Track task are you on?
Oh, no, I finished. I finished that 2 weeks ago. It took me just as long as a normal Yak Track in the end.
And you did the task aids, right?
Sorry?
You did the task aids?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did skip. I broke my rules and I used one of my skip tokens this time. Because there was one task was burn, I think it was like burn 1500 elders or the ones you get on the driftwood, which I didn't have enough driftwood. And I'm not you know, they're too expensive to burn. So I use that one there. I like the task where they have do this or this. I think that should be on every have your kill and skill one. But I think each task should have you this one or this one. One quick one, which will cost you money. One slower one, which you know you can do without cost. And then your skill and chill should be the longest one of all of them.
Yeah, that's fair. Tanis, how about you?
So I just basically finished about 5K mahogany frames.
Oh my god!
Wow.
And we are getting ready to start building lots and lots and lots of workshops. But
they're
that
so slow
been
to make too. That's yeah, well done.
Yeah, they have been. So yeah, I mean that's really all I've been doing on RS. Playing ESO on the side, but yeah, that's because I'm going for. I think I want to do the 120 construction now. So
nice.
That's what we're going for.
Have you considered selling the frames and then doing a different construction training method?
I thought about that, but the only construction training method I would really want to do would be proteins on a portable workbench.
That's
so
how I did it.
Yeah, I mean, if I don't have the proteins, then I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. Yeah.
Yeah, it's too laborious doing the prawn guy.
Yeah.
What do you think about the new plank making in Fort Ferent 3 not costing you anything?
I mean, I think that's really cool.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I mean it's brilliant. And it's nice too to have your invention machines right there, so you can pull everything out of your plank makers
yep.
and then run them through the other plank maker and then run it through the framer and you're
I don't even use a plank maker. I cut the wood, turn the wood into planks and yeah, it's all free now and then just go bang, bang, bang. So
yeah.
That was a really good update, that one.
And you know, the more and more I think about it, that's the star of Fort 4 and 3 for us.
Yep. Except It has taken another gold sink away. Paying the sawmill to turn your logs into planks.
Yeah.
But it was already kind of gone with the plank makers, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. As for me this week, you know, same thing. Continuing on Yak Track, doing the task A's. This week was cooking, and then more cooking, interestingly enough. And then some wood cutting along the way as well. So, I mean, they're good, you know, off to the side sorts of things to do. I haven't used any skips yet, but just been progressing with that in addition to all the dailies and whatnot, of course, as well, like the potion flasks and whatnot. I cannot underscore how impactful those potion flasks are combined with daily rune runs and the dinosaur roars from the Anachronia place. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. As passive money making methods. But nonetheless, that's what I've been up to. Just the Yak Track stuff. But I don't think there's anything else this week, unless you guys have anything else you want to mention before we go.
That's it for me.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week. If you want to listen to us and get the podcast delivered automatically to you, the best way to do that is to subscribe. And we're on all the podcast listeners out there. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Pocket Cast, Amazon, Stitcher, and many more. Update.show/subscribe. We're also on YouTube at youtube.com/RSBNB. That's where we post the video versions of the shows and the nibbles as well. And, you know, the usual thing. If you like the show, give it a like and subscribe. Helps the channel out, so on and so forth. And that's very much so because, you know, we're primarily an audio show and that's where the bulk of our listeners are. So YouTube is just another place of putting it. But that's it for this week. And thanks to the both of you being here. We'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. See you then, everyone. Take care.
Yeah.
Happy Skyping, all.